If I want to give one of those games a try, which one should I go for?
I like the third one best.
Yeah, but you don't count. So, Bobby, which one do you go for?
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Chi.
Aloha.
Emilio.
Here we go again.
Chad.
What up, boys and girls?
And myself, Bobby. New intro is eventually coming, I promise.
Bobby, just a little side note.
Okay.
Because we like side notes here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to start off introducing yourself. I mean, that's how they do it. The pros do it. You know, you introduce yourself and then you introduce your cast of associates.
Bruce Buffer never introduces himself.
Because he's fucking Bruce Buffer.
Who's Bruce Buffer?
He's the announcer for UFC.
And in this corner.
Yeah.
And that's what Bobby's doing. He's setting us up to go to battle.
Gotcha.
Verbal battle.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, fair enough.
Saving the best for last.
You did get him to change his name. All right.
Well, let's get into it. Why doesn't someone else do the intro? I'm going to go turn on this camera over here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So watch out of that right there. So we created an NSFW channel on our Discord. We're not trying to censor anybody or anything like that. But if you have something that you think maybe
might offend a lady in the room,
might offend ladies, can you put it in the NSFW channel? I know we end every episode with titties. So there's your bar. if it's worse than that.
We're not big on censorship,
yeah.
But I've been bringing up Discord a lot more at work lately, and I work around children and stuff, so you know, let's
makes it tough.
Yeah, but I'm pretty quick with the alt tab, so it's probably okay.
Dude, it's so bad when I need to search something on my phone, and I bring up my my browser, and it's porn, like porn on there. You have to like. Put your phone down so fast.
Wait a second.
Are you just when you finish, you're just so done with
sometimes,
life that you don't even close the tab?
A point of advice for porn watching on your cell phone. You
Sorry,
have to download
guys,
an incognito browser.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
Or just use incognito browsers.
No, I got
because
you.
As soon as you tab out or lock the screen on your phone, it closes it out completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
First time ever getting porn tips from a girl. That's awesome. Thank you for lady explaining that to me.
Right, exactly.
We have a new Patreon subscriber. That's Bill the Heel. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
I think we also
did some Heroes of the Storm with him this week and had a blast.
We also decided that even the $5 subscribers are going to be getting T-shirts now. So we'll be sending all those out. So all you $5 guys, that which is almost everybody, you're all going to get T-shirts as well. If you're wondering what T-shirts they are, go to dlgaming.net. You'll see Chad's fat ass in our Half-Life-inspired T-shirt. I think it's badass. It's that orange. It's our version of the orange Nambla? What are they called?
Lambda.
And it's like weathered, kind of like it was spray painted on the wall. We really did a lot of work to get that done. But we do have a backstock of them, so let's get rid of those. And
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Nothing. I was going to go right into last week's errors.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
That's where I can pick up last week's errors and shit. I was talking a lot about Resident Evil 7. Nothing technical here. I just finally actually beat the real second main boss. Whatever I defeated the first time was just a really scary minion, not necessarily the big boss. I am still playing Resident Evil 7, and every time I am playing Resident Evil 7, my goal is to at least make it to the next boss fight and defeat the boss. So it's actually, you know, it's a stream that gets somewhere. So loving Resident Evil 7. Last week I said I got to the second boss fight. That wasn't true. I just defeated the second boss. And boy, does this game get better and better. I'm just saying, yeah, as
God
you get through.
Damn it.
Are you gonna
don't want to play it.
Are you going to play it, Mila?
I might.
I wanna, you got to stream, though, if you play.
Yeah, it's much easier that way.
Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Cool.
All right.
How far do you think you guys you're in, by the way?
Sorry, I'm Bobby. About, I'm a little bit past 3 hours.
Okay.
And it's a 10-hour game.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Third of the way. Gotcha.
All right. Someone posted a suggestion in our suggestions and comment section in Discord about Rabbit. Now, have you guys had a chance to look into this?
What's his name?
That's Rab.it.
Yeah, I believe it was Daris Sotra.
Daris Sotra, yeah.
If I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Which we probably aren't, but that's all right.
Yeah, he sent that link, and it's in regards to watching something simultaneously with someone else. And that way, it looks like it's a video chat, up to 25 friends, new downloader installations, and it's awesome. I will definitely try it out.
I want to know how this is allowed. Like, is somebody...
It seems totally illegal.
Yeah.
Like, when I actually went on the site, I'm like, this feels shady. But I don't know. Apparently, it's not shut down, and it works. And the stream quality varies. You know, it could be not a very good stream. You can pause, adjust the volume on your own. When you play it back, it doesn't pick up right where you paused. It picks up wherever it left off. And there's like a chat window going in the side. So it is a way for you to watch content with other people who are not physically in the same room. I think the next step, like the only time I think I would jump into something like this is virtual reality. If you could put on a headset, someone else puts on a headset, you're in a virtual movie theater. Like that seems cool to me. I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
One of the games that I played when we had access to the Vive was... kind of like a Second Life inside. Way it did not nearly as robust as Second Life. But it was kind of like a bar, and everybody else in there was people on their VR headsets. And it had the surround sound audio, so the closer you got to a conversation, the louder they would be. And it was a lot of confusion and chaos, but definitely right on the way. And they had a movie theater in the building and a bunch of other stuff like ping pong and stuff. None of it worked, but they had plans for all that stuff.
So, for our next video commentary, do you see us doing something like Rabbit at all?
Maybe.
So. It works so much better when we all get together.
Mm-hmm.
But
we wanted to incorporate other people, like listeners, yeah, maybe. But yeah, us, no reason why we can't all get together.
So, is one person broadcasting the
that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it can't be legal. Mm-hmm. You can't just broadcast.
I wonder if there's a way that everybody can watch Netflix at the same time. On that.
There were Netflix shows being shown on there.
Yeah. Crazy.
Before we get any further, I remembered what I wanted to bring up on the Patreon site. There had been a mention, like, there had been some talk on Discord, like, some crazy amounts of money that other Patreon members, Patreon people had gotten, and people were having discussion on, like, why do people donate so much? And it was brought up. I just want to make it clear to everybody that all the money that we get on our Patreon goes right back to the podcast.
Fuck like, that. She was just talking about going on vacation. She's like, when do we get our pina coladas?
We all got jobs.
Courtesy of Patreon.
We all got jobs, so we're not looking to rip people off. So we have some more money in the Patreon account. We're still deciding what to do with it. Another thing that I meant to bring up in the intro, but didn't. So I think we're going to try to do a listener get together tonight, all four of us, which obviously will already have happened by the time you hear about it, but that's something we're trying to get going moving forward. Is that,
mm-hmm.
have we kind of agreed?
God, I really feel like we're on the defensive on this episode.
Night. Yeah, yeah.
We about it.
Like we're running a Ponzi scheme. We're like, look, guys, don't worry. Your money's safe. No, but we are trying to get a lot more going with our active listeners in Discord, and the gaming night is part of that. So yeah, tonight, Friday night, we are going to be having our first ever official DL gaming night, and then
just show up at midnight. There's no sign above the door. It's down the alley. It's on the right side. There's a guy named Mick. Mick's gonna show you where.
Yeah, knock twice. Hold on a second. Then knock three times.
Passcode is the large ship sinks in a small hole.
But normally Sundays is probably going to be more common than Friday nights. So
yeah.
If you are interested in playing with us, you can always look to do that. Discord's the best way to get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, we're pretty easy to reach on Discord. All right, ready for some games?
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about On the Radar. So I noticed this week Shadows of the Empire is now for sale Steam.
I knew you were going to bring this. I saw this on Steam, and I said, Bobby's going to talk about this for sure.
Oh, yeah. And here's the best part. $5.99 for this game. I mean, $5.99.
$5.99 for how old is this game? 25 years old?
It's an old game, but I mean, it's a classic. It probably still holds up. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely going to get it and play it. But here's the problem that I have. With Turok, when I went back and played that, I had a blast, but then I went through the first three worlds, and then I realized, or I couldn't get to the fourth one because I had forgot some object that I was supposed to pick up along the way. I have no idea where this object is. You have to, like, grab keys along the way to unlock other levels. I'm not going to go retrace my steps in two or three other worlds to find this one little object.
I got bills to pay.
Yeah, I mean, that's like an old thing, an old gaming thing from a long time ago that I feel like has no place in modern society. So, I don't know. Shadows of the Empire, I have fond memories of. This was an N64 game, right?
What style of game is this?
It's like a... It's an action game, third person, over the shoulder
shooter.
This was like the first game where you could drive the snow speeder and like lasso the walkers.
Nice.
Maybe not the first game, but the one that really like did it.
There's
well.
Some old games that had that.
Yeah, yeah, but this one was like, that was the coolest fucking part about it. So I'm excited to go back and play this. I also really liked the book. That was a good book.
Who wrote that one?
I can't remember.
Is it
it's like a guy who didn't, I don't think he wrote any other Star Wars books. It's not like Kevin J. Anderson or Timothy Zahn. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Oh, is this the one that follows Mara?
Mara Jade?
Yeah.
No, that's Timothy Zahn.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is the one that follows Dash Rendar.
And she's Shadow of the Emperor.
Yeah. And then, Emperor. Prince Zizu tries to...
No, the Emperor's
hands. He has like these pheromones, and he tries to seduce Leia. It was a good book. I really enjoyed it. But looking forward to that. And then we also got, I don't know, is anyone else looking forward to that, or is that am I alone here?
I took one look at it. I was like, is this a cell phone game?
Yeah. 96 it came out.
Yeah, Steve Perry is the person who wrote it. I don't think he wrote any other ones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The oldest Star Wars game I played was Knights of the Republic, so I didn't even know this one existed.
What was the Super Nintendo one? That was a side-scroller?
Yeah, it was just called Super Star Wars.
Super Star Wars.
Return of the Jedi and Super Empire Strikes
Back. That was my first one.
Yeah, got
great games.
Nobody's feeling me on Shadows of the Empire here. I know Flying is.
Yeah, can we cut this segment? I never did that before, but
we're going to go 10 more minutes on Shadows of the Empire.
There's another one that we want to talk about, though.
A listener in Discord actually just mentioned this one, and I pulled it up. It's called Phoning Home, and at first glance, it looks like WALL-E the video game.
Yeah.
And it's described as an open-world game of exploration and survival set on a strange alien planet. It tells a story of two robots and their life-defining journey. Sounds pretty good.
What is single player? I hate when they always go... Well, ever since I played Poi, it goes, two people set on an adventure. I was like, sweet, local co-op. And then it's single player. And this one, too.
Yeah.
It's like two robots.
That is weird.
Yeah. Mm.
But, I mean, it looks interesting, though. I think it's a crafting survival
game,
though.
That's what it looks
like. But it's with robots, so you probably don't have to worry about food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure.
I don't think we added it to the show notes, so I want to bring it up now. So, Conan... is the number one seller this week or last week or whatever. It's like 370,000 copies. Rust broke records. Ark did really well. DayZ was a phenomenon. Like, but there's not a whole lot of these games being developed. Like, is this... why does it sell so many copies? And I've thought about buying Conan. And I'm not even...
Those games are infectious. Like, a bunch of people buy it, they stream it, the really popular streamers stream it, and people see it, and they're like, well, I got to get that game because everyone's doing it. And it's one of those games that really thrives on a big community. So it's these things that just kind of, like, blow up exponentially. Now, if they'll last, that's a whole other story.
Maybe all the crew, like, well, let me get my DayZ crew together for Rust. And then it disbands eventually. And it's like, let me get my Conan.
Maybe it's the whole MOBA or MMO crowd that is trying to do something else.
Yeah.
Well, I think for this crafting survival thing, it's kind of like real life. If you took a snapshot of the best minute of your day, it'd be like a pretty cool minute. but it doesn't show you the other 23 hours where you didn't do shit all day. You know, like, I think these crafting survival games, they'll have, like, these minute clips where that's really cool, something's really badass happening, and not the fucking 10 hours you spent making a fucking hut that gets destroyed in a fucking hour.
So much of that happens.
Right? Doesn't, well, isn't that?
Yeah, some element of that, you know, kind of pertains to Minecraft as well. When you have this open world, there's really no rules. It's a sandbox of a game, and you kind of create your own gaming experience. It's definitely a game that, right off the get-go, when you know others are playing it, you'll want to get involved and really, and there's a learning curve with these too. So as you kind of discover how you want to play the game, it's fun, it's enjoyable, but I've played a lot of these games, DayZ, H1Z1, and as soon as my social element died off for me, the game died along with
that's
it.
That's how they go, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Should we get into some highlights and lowlights?
Yeah, let's do it. Who wants to start?
I got a lot to talk about.
Let's get Chi out of the way in case she needs... Well, we have plenty of time, but did you have something, Chi, on here?
For this week, I did try out the For Honor Open Beta, so everybody can actually try it out, whether you're on console or PC. Bobby did play it previously before, and I missed my chance with the closed beta. Now, it being open beta, I definitely did not miss the opportunity to try it out. I generally think the game is okay, but...
Wow. Strong endorsement.
But it's beautiful. It's got great graphics. I think the controls are elaborate, but functional. Like, there's combos in the game, and the maps are, you know, easy to understand. There's a little bit of a MOBA element to the game too, where the NPCs help you control the different points that you need. And I do like the leveling aspect, but beyond just trying it out, I couldn't see myself investing $60. So it's like a rinse and repeat for what Bobby was saying before.
So did you play with a controller or a keyboard and mouse?
Controller.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't even try with a keyboard and mouse. That just didn't seem like it would make sense with my hands. So you were doing it mouse and keyboard, right?
Yeah.
No, with the controller, it was very fluid. What I did, I played as a Viking, so he was slower but definitely harder hitting when my blows landed. I, at first, was when I went in, I died instantly because I was like, okay, I see these NPCs. Let me help them push the zone. Not so helpful because people would just run through the pile of NPCs straight to me and kill me or team up on me. So I started doing what they were doing, and I would run around until I could get a flank on somebody and or just follow a teammate and have us just plow through the enemies when we saw them.
Was that more fun? Obviously, that was more fun.
It was more fun.
Not a fun game.
I got a lot of kills, but I also got a lot of deaths because I was very reckless.
And your brothers weren't around.
Yeah, my brothers weren't around playing with me, no. Surprisingly enough, they actually... Well, my older brother does not like the game. He actually said he hated the game, so... Wow. Yeah.
This game seems really, like, polarizing. Like, people either love it. Beirut was talking about... one of our listeners was talking about how much he was enjoying it. And then other people are like, I can't get into it. Bobby, noticeably.
I watched a video of somebody playing it.
I'm just wondering why.
It's a three-minute video, maybe 4 minutes. It was called None Shall Pass. He named the video. And it was one dude holding a bridge. Because the checkpoints, at least it looked like, I don't know, the holding points are mobile. Mm-hmm. You're moving the front line up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one in the middle like that, and then you have your checkpoint in the back, and then the enemy's checkpoint further on. So
it's like reverse tug of war?
Yeah, kind of like that.
And so this guy single-handedly pushed the whole team back. It was awesome to watch. I mean, this guy was wrecking these dudes.
That's cool.
And because he called it None Shall Pass, it made even more. It was just like fucking that scene in.
Well, in the middle, there's all the NPCs that you can just toss around really easily. Was he killing those, or were they actual players?
No, real players.
Okay.
Because the NPCs seem to stand back when the real players are fighting, for the most part. They won't even take a jab, from what I was seeing.
They form a ring so they can all just cheer.
Kind of. It's almost exactly what they're doing. Yeah. It's like the front line will fight itself until real players show up and then, like, a dance circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would definitely say it is, when it comes to the one-on-one, it's pretty skill-based. By an hour into it, my thumbs were sore. from using the joystick so aggressively. So it's almost like playing a fighting game for me. Like, I'll pick up, I'll play it, but you won't. And but most of my gaming experiences that I enjoy, it's a 5 to 6 hour long, you know, gaming streak. So with this, I couldn't see myself sitting on there for more than an hour just playing.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have betas. Maybe if the voices are heard, and once they hear about the DL Gaming grump, like everybody's grumpy about it, then maybe they're going to listen to us, definitely.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
He said vodka and water.
Oh, my God. It's a vodka and ice. He just gave me, I don't know what he just handed me.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Good luck with that one.
It's going to be like lighter fluid. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how this does when it comes out. I feel like it hasn't been looking too good, kind of like Emilio's face right now after that sip of vodka water.
There's no ice, dude. If you want,
it's like
you
got a dishwashing or a dish rag and squeezed it into a cup.
If you're wondering what's going on, Emil and I are both drinking on this episode, and
we're drinking and gaming tonight.
Yeah,
when we do our gaming
it,
event, I am actually drinking a little bit, but not enough to get drunk.
Okay. But anyways, we're out of ice, so I gave him vodka and water, and he loves it. All right, what else are we talking about?
Tap water, no ice, and vodka. That's what I'm drinking right now.
Okay, do you guys want me to talk about mobile gaming right now or later?
Let's just get it done.
Okay. First, I want to bring up something really quick. There was people that have recommended Final Fantasy Brave Exvius to me and Fire Emblem, and these games are identical to every other fucking game. You know, they want you to collect as many guys as you possibly can, and they're all starred from like 1 to 7, and you got to level them up, and you want to join a guild, but not to actually do anything with them, just to fucking say send me shit, so they send you shit. It's just worthless. I'm so over
this.
An
MMO?
No, these are mobile games. These are both phone games.
Fire Emblem is?
Fire Emblem just came out.
Who's going to... Oh, I get you.
You know, like, you want to join something.
Yeah, they're like pseudo-multiplayer. Yeah,
exactly.
But Fire Emblem is like something else outside of just a mobile game, right?
Yes, they just released the mobile version of Fire Emblem.
Okay.
And it's from Nintendo. And it's one of those tactics games where, you know, like, you move your guy and then...
Well, that's fun.
And yeah, it was interesting. I'm not enjoying any of them. And Final Fantasy Brave Exvius is a pretty decent version of Final Fantasy, but all this junk on top of it to try to get you to spend money is just, it ruins the whole experience for me. So I'm over them. The Star Wars, the Final Fantasies, the Marvel.
I feel like I've heard this before.
I'm just so over them. So anyways.
Star Wars sucked you in bad, though.
Those guys are... those games are done for me.
So at this point, knowing what you know, going back, would you go back and do the Star Wars thing again? Would you?
I had fun for a while
while
there.
You were doing it.
The problem is with the Star Wars is I was having fun early on, and then they started trying to add more and more complexity to get you to spend more time and money on there, and then I was over it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, distill it down to the core and let me have fun doing the core part of it. And I actually spent some money on that game.
I'm playing Bubble Witch Saga, and I don't know where to spend money on it.
Really?
We're having fun. It's a ripoff of Bubble Bobble. Or no. What's
yeah,
the one where
yeah.
You...
There was a new one on Steam.
Not Bubble Bobble. Come on, guys.
Bubble Trouble. No, Bubble Bobble.
You get the little...
The
arrow,
the little pointer, and it shoots
out. You shoot the bubbles.
I don't know. I never played that game at the arcade.
Blast. Bubble Burst. Fuck.
Anyway.
It's pretty fun.
But I did play a game that I did really enjoy. Emilio talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's this geometry game. Yeah, Bubble Bobble.
Arcade game Bubbles.
No. It's Bubble Bobble.
Okay. We're looking at it right there. That's it. But that's not the name.
Anyways. Okay. The game is called Euclidia. And Emilio, you played this one.
You handed me the phone. I said, I don't know what this is. I handed it back to you.
I don't know why I like these games. It's basically math problems.
Yeah.
It's fucking giving you
geometry
and math problems.
Like high school geometry problems.
You've got to solve it. But I don't know. If you have any interest at all in puzzle games, give Euclidia a try.
It sounds like a VD.
It doesn't sound right.
Sir, you have Euclidia.
No!
It's based on Euclidean geometry, which is the basis of all geometry. But anyways, Euclidia, you give it a try. If you like puzzle games, you'll really enjoy it. I've had a blast with it. I actually, for 99 cents, you can unlock everything, and I actually paid the 99 cents for it. So.
Pretty sure it's based on your mom.
And one last thing I want to talk about mobile games. There's a game that I have called M-Box, which, Emilio, you might like, but the reason I bring this up is literally a, what do you call this, escape room on your phone.
Oh, okay.
And that concept is really cool, and they just don't pull it off with M-Box. But I think, like, shaking your phone, turning your phone upside down, like, you could do all sorts of things with your phone mechanic, and they don't do any of that yet. Cool. So, but M-Box is what it's called, but it's free right now, so I don't see it.
You know what I could do for you guys' brand?
Okay.
No, but seriously, because that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, isn't that a cool idea?
Yeah.
Like, I opened it up, I was like, oh, this is a sweet concept. And then I played for a little bit, and I was like, okay.
For those who don't know, an escape room is when everybody's locked in an imaginary room. Well, it's a real room. The people are real, but you're not really locked in there. And you're given a series of puzzles to try to figure out how to get out and ultimately escape or whatever it is. They're super fun. Mm-hmm. Drinking's not encouraged, but you usually want to go in there with a buzz. Quickly to recap,
is there anything that you wouldn't want to go in with a buzz on? Give me anything in life.
A
funeral, yes.
DUI checkpoint.
A DUI checkpoint, yeah, exactly.
Hey, a buzz is fine. Buzz driving is not drunk driving.
That's not what the cops told me.
So Chad and I went up there and we're like, yeah, dude, we play so many video games, this shit's going to be so easy. You know, our girls were like nervous.
This is the escape room you're talking about.
Yeah, we're the escape room. And we're like, we'll dial it back and then at the last minute. And then I asked what the completion rate was, and I think it was 61%. And we're like, oh, shit, we're really going to have to try. And so we got, an hour? And we were done at like 52 minutes. So it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. Yeah. And we called in for a hint once or twice.
It was fun.
They have like a little radio you can call in for a hint.
You've gone?
I've done one. The one that I did, I think I talked about it on the podcast when I did it, and then a month later you guys did it. One that I did, like the first puzzle they had you do was a Sudoku, and I was the only one out of the group of four people I was with that knew what Sudoku was.
That's about one in four. I would say 20% of people know how to do Sudoku.
I would be definitely one of those people.
I don't know. I feel like that was a craze and like nobody missed it. Like everyone's got to know what Sudoku is.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Hmm. It's in fucking...
It was a huge fad for a while.
Yeah, everyone was doing it. It was a new crossword puzzle.
I was going to say it's in newspapers, but then how many fucking kids are looking at newspapers?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Right. I got a few things here. Enslaved Journey to the West. Thanks, Fig Sack, for sending that over for Christmas.
Oh, this is the one with the dude and his little buddy.
I'm excited to hear about this because this is a game that I hear from a lot of people is one of those underrated games it never really got like its just due as far as like people playing it. But you can get it for like what? On sale for like five bucks.
Yeah.
I played this when it came out on consoles, so I'm kind of curious to know what you think.
So it was a super solid console game. I made a couple of errors. One, I played it on the PC, and two, I was playing on mouse and keyboard.
You got to play controller.
I was having... It would be fine all the time until there's like a turret or something I had to control other than walking around. The controls were not solid. I really needed to play on a controller. And I ran into one or two game-breaking bugs, which really bummed me out. But here's a testament to how good this game is. I watched the rest of it on YouTube, which was like 2 hours more of where I was. Because I played like 3-4 hours, and then I need to finish it. So I went to YouTube and watched
it. So you did
that
for the story?
For the story, yeah. Because there was these parts, man.
Why didn't you play the rest of the game? I don't understand what this thing with you about watching your games on YouTube.
There was game-breaking bugs.
You seriously watch this game on YouTube and then go and play Binding of Isaac. Like, it just doesn't make... Play new games, too. Like, why are you playing...
What are you talking about? I couldn't play it because it was breaking on my computer. So my next best option is to watch it on YouTube.
Was it really game-breaking, or
yeah,
did you just
like
get
a wall didn't break down and I couldn't... the boss was supposed to go through this wall. He never did, so I couldn't walk through the wall.
But you didn't restart and try it again?
Twice.
I still don't
believe it. And it kept happening, too.
I still don't believe you. Go ahead, though.
So anyway, and I was glad I watched it. I mean, it was really written well. And I think I wanted to do this research before I actually talked about it, but I'm pretty sure it's based on some sort of Chinese...
Journey to the West, it's called.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that makes
That's
sense.
Why it's enslaved colon, I think, or whatever, Journey to the West. Mm-hmm. I think the original... the original book or whatever is
because the main character, his name, they call him Monkey. He looks just like Sun Wukong,
yeah,
for sure. And then you meet,
he's got the staff too, right? And a tail. Uh-huh.
And you meet it, not really a tail, but it looks like a tail. And
this game is futuristic, right? There's turrets and electronics.
He
and stuff.
Just wears a sash that hangs down like a tail.
That's right.
But he looks just like Sun Wukong. And then at some point you meet a pig man, and he's obviously technologically, but. And they poke a lot of fun. I laughed. It's a great, greatly written game.
Who made this game, by the way?
I thought it was for Xbox.
It was. It came out on the consoles a long time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
It's definitely dated, though. That's another thing. The controls were so wonky.
Oh man, I remember.
Oh, the character models
this game
are amazing.
On release day forever ago.
Well, it was released on the PC, or at least on Steam, in 2013. But for the console, what would you say?
Yeah, earlier, much earlier than that.
Yeah, a very long time.
Oh, this is Ninja Theory. I got a Ninja Theory game that I'm going to talk about here in a little bit.
What a great name for a developer. I really like the logo, too. Not as good as our logo or the one that Flying Hawaiian made for us, but definitely very solid.
That is a classic. That is a classic logo. Look it on Discord channel if you don't know what we're talking about. By the way,
for a second, I had no idea what Amelia was talking about until we actually looked up the game.
Yeah, and then it comes back to you.
But because when I see Enslaved Journey to the West, I honestly was just thinking that Chinese movie, Journey to the West.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, well, I it might take from that story, but graphically.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a like a futuristic, like broken down world, right? Like you're in this like kind of ruins and
it's
shit.
It's post-apocalyptic. You know what's funny about the whole thing?
It's almost like the show 100.
Yeah.
The show 100. Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of. Anyway, so all the graphic, like the buildings and everything like that, on almost all fucking console games, just the floor and the walls, and it just looked like dog shit. The character models look like they're from a game that's current. Like they
took all their polys onto the character models.
Yeah, the character models are awesome. But anyway, I mean, I can't really recommend it because it's so dated. It doesn't play on PC well. At least it didn't for me. Clown Lotion said he played it all the way through on Xbox and then again on PC. So maybe he had a better setup than I have, but it's a great game. It's just old. I feel like the same thing with this as I do as...
It's great, but old is the way I describe you to people, by the way, Amelia.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I played Star Wars Rogue for 5 minutes.
Oh.
And
I guess we're not taking turns. Fair enough.
I decided that it's...
Until you watch the game play out on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, why do I have to play if I can jack off and still play and watch the same thing?
Well... Okay, Star Wars Rogue.
Yeah, I think I have to play it some more because it looks like it's a 9 out of 10. But
you hated it.
There's just better twin-stick shooter roguelikes. There's a lot
This
more.
Is considered a bullet hell, though.
Okay, but it has roguelike. See, it says roguelike.
But a bullet hell is like you have... It's like Space Invaders, where you have a unit that you control at the bottom of the screen. You can move it maybe left and right, sometimes up and down, but it's on an X and Y axis.
Look at the screenshots. It's about moving your guy through this hail of bullets as it's moving around.
Binding of Isaac isn't?
No, not at all.
You see, I think, I don't know.
What?
If we got a nitpick here, bullet hell versus twin stick shooter. A twin stick shooter, I feel like the area is fixed.
Look at this picture.
In a bullet
That's
hell.
A bullet hell. Yeah. Where you're traversing through
that one
bullets.
Looks like it. This one looks more like a, I don't know. People can't see what we're pointing out here,
exactly.
So we should stop doing that.
Yeah.
But I think a bullet hell is like... Faxanadu. Anyone remember that one? Like, basically, the stuff is coming down at you, and you are being forced.
You're limiting yourself, though. Bullet hell.
And then a twin-stick shooter is just like Binding of Isaac, where you enter a room, and you have to run around. You're moving around, but everything else is...
saying the screen stays centered on you?
Yeah, the environment is stationary. Not the bad guys, but the environment.
I respectfully disagree, and I think this is exactly a bullet hell, because if you look at the screenshots... look at these screenshots. Like,
let me see if I can pull up a video, because screenshots don't tell you much.
Just a full screen of bullets that you're trying to get
fight,
through.
Hush, fight, mega Satan, and then get back to me and tell me Biden or Isaac is in bullet hell.
Anyways, so you played this game, you didn't like it, but it got a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
so you're
but 9 out of 10 after 200 reviews, so
okay.
Maybe I have to give it another shot.
Or probably more than the 5 minutes in.
How did you hear about this? Because this is a small game.
I always go through the, what is it called, when they offer you 10 games?
Your queue? The
queue. I always go through that three times.
Oh, gotcha.
And then if Bobby or somebody else has it, then I download it.
I see a lot of people playing this game.
What do you think, Bobby? Is this?
It looks good, but you know what I said last week on Twin Stick Shooters? Like, if I'm going to play one, then I'd go back to Full Mojo Rampage.
Yep.
I really like that one, but I don't know. It looks good.
Cool. I played a ton more games. Do you guys want to hear me talk some more?
Yeah, go for it.
Are they PC games?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean? That was it. That was done with mobile for this week. I played Age of Gladiators because, one,
sat on it so much.
One, I don't believe Emilio, and I believe Emilio gives everything a cursory pass through and doesn't give it, you know, it's just due. And two, FigSec, one of our listeners, said he loved the game and it was available, and I thought I'd give it a go. I'm actually kind of really enjoying this game. Now, what Emilio said is correct. There's no cute pictures on the screen. You don't get to see the guys fighting. So if you're looking for that...
No narrative.
There's definitely a narrative.
Nope.
Emilio didn't get anywhere near to long enough to find out. So you play as this... You get to select what your history is, but you start at the outskirts of the Roman Empire, and you're trying to work your way up into Rome and become the champion of the gladiators ship. I'm enjoying it. It's got everything I need in a simulation game. I don't play simulation games a lot though, so maybe Bobby or somebody else that plays them more often could give it a go. And
I don't know. Someone else compared this to Football Manager.
I've never played Football Manager, but I don't think that's the case. You're leveling up your guys.
What
you're
a contrarian. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to say no anyway.
Well, I don't see how that works for the Football Manager because
the numbers are just
you're
numbers,
like
dude.
Picking which weapon to use and your weapons
not
decay.
Really. You're picking numbers over other numbers. Like,
I mean, that's the essence of a simulation game.
Yeah, but I need more than just that.
You need to not play a simulation game.
There's an obvious thematic difference, like one's football, one's gladiators. But I mean, at the end of the day, aren't you just tweaking numbers and doing math?
Yeah, but I need more than just a facade, a thin layer on top of the math. I need a thick layer on top of the math, like Fight Club, where it had story progression.
Did you play Fight Club?
No, but it sounded awesome.
Fight Club?
You mean Punch Club?
Punch Club?
Fist Club. Yep, Fist Club. That was it. Got it.
Fist Club?
Fist Club is something cheese stands.
That's what you and Sam do on a Saturday night.
No. Wait, what?
Anyways, Age of Gladiators is good. I think it's clearly worth the $2 if you buy it right now.
Oh, so this is Chad's review of Age of Gladiators versus Emilio's review.
Yeah.
Completely different.
It could be complete dog shit, and he would have said it like just so he can be a contrarian.
No. I played for like 2 hours this morning, not this morning, a couple days ago, or maybe it was this morning. Jesus Christ, what happened to the week? Anyways, I played for like a couple hours, and so I said, Emilio, you know, my guy just hit level 5, and I'm leveling him up. I'm deciding where to put points and stuff. I was like, Emilio, what level did you get your guys to? He said level 2. Level 2. And yet he comes here, tells us it's a shit game, don't buy it. At level, like, you didn't even give it an hour. Like,
if you don't like a thin veneer on your simulations, then you already know to stay away from it. And that's how I presented my argument.
Yeah, but you don't like any simulation game. There's not a single simulation game you like.
Untrue.
What? Give me one.
I can't think of one right now, but...
Okay. Anyways, give Age of Gladiators a try. On that same vein, I played YouTuber's Life, and everybody can laugh. YouTuber's life. This is, sounds ridiculous. I'm having a blast playing this game also. Bobby tried it out, and you said you didn't like it.
It didn't stick. Like, I saw what it was doing, and it seemed like the perfect game for me because I love those sim games, but I don't know. It just didn't stick. Maybe I didn't connect with the whole YouTuber thing.
It is a little silly, and I will give you... So you have to, like, build up your rapport with other people because eventually you're going to want to collaborate with them and stuff like that. But then they have this whole, like, you can go up to dating and start dating people and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I just really didn't want to deal with it. I don't want to play a dating app. I wanted to play this style game. And so
it's just numbers, dude. It doesn't matter if it says dating. It's just numbers.
I mean, so
oh, what about SimCity? Does that count?
So is Binding of Isaac. If
Sim
you think
City
about it,
count.
It's a sim game.
Yeah, I really like those.
No.
It's okay, like because it has sim in the title.
Yeah, correct.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Anyways,
fucking jerk. There's going to be some cutbacks this year on the DL Gaming Podcast.
Wow. YouTuber's life. So it's $25, I think.
Whoa, really?
I'd call it downsizing.
I think you bought it.
I got it on sale, but let me look up because it was in early access when I bought it, but I don't remember it being that expensive. That seems... It
you
is $25. Wow. $25.
No, I'm playing it off of Bobby's account.
Oh, yeah.
Which he's been getting a lot of cards recently, so I haven't been able to. Oh, yeah. So
well, you guys just got
to
text me before I go to bed.
Do you get to be like? Who are you? Are your own YouTuber?
You pick yourself.
Ooh, he's cute too.
Guy or girl? You can pick some things. About
are there
that.
Real YouTubers in this game? Like
no,
PewDiePie?
No. This is all just made up.
Okay.
But what's kind of interesting is you get to pick one of three categories that you want to be a YouTuber for.
Music.
So you can do cooking. You can do gaming.
And titties.
And I forget what the third is. I think it's maybe music related or something, singing or something like that.
I don't even think... When I first played this game, I don't even think they had all those options open. I think you could only do like the gaming one.
Okay.
You know what this game reminds me of from looking at the different things here? If you were able to actually interact with other people, like other actual people playing the game, like an online... It almost seems like an online sim game.
It does, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like The Sims.
And so they have all these things where, like, you can go to movie dates with people and stuff like that. It's got this whole thing about, you know, getting to know people, and it just didn't... It detracted from...
Well, there's
the
social networking side, but there's also just like the management side. Like you can upgrade your equipment.
Exactly.
You
and that was cool.
Your video editing skills. Like you can do all these things to like improve your videos and that results in more views.
Right now I'm like in a luxury apartment. I have two collaborators. I've got three stations set up, each with their own rigs that are set up.
Way better than our podcast.
Yeah, no, my guy in the first month got better than our podcast. So yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Very positive is the reviews for it. If you don't like simulation games, i.e. you're Emilio, then don't bother trying.
How much more graphics is there in this thing, Age of Gladiator?
You would still hate this game.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
No, I don't see what you're saying.
There's not one moving sprite.
But from a simulation standpoint, these graphics don't add anything.
I would love
they actually
would love
slow it down because I've got to walk to my station instead of just selecting station. You know what I mean?
This game. Thank you.
Okay, then play
it. I understand what he's saying, but I do also feel like, Emilio, you don't play simulation games. Like, whenever I play any of these games, I feel like this is a game that you would never play.
This is true.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was interesting, I picked a gamer, and I was doing my gamer YouTube life. But then you can go to conventions, and in the conventions, they have like a goal to get 1,000 points in their mini game, and you can go on these kind of like consoles in the convention and play this mini game. What's the game where you play as kind of a landing ship, and you have a fuel, and you're trying to land on a spot? You know what I mean? Like, and you've got a limited amount of fuel. And you're trying to, it's vertical. Anyways, they have mini games set up to do things. I just thought that was kind of cool that it had some depth to it as far as that's concerned.
No mini games in Age of Gladiators.
That's true. There are no mini games in Age of Gladiators.
I have no idea what mini game you were talking about, but the only thing that's popping into my head is Pilot Wings. when you're trying to land, you're trying to parachute down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not that, right?
No.
No.
No, no.
You're thinking of a 2D.
Flyin' Hawaiian says Game Dev Tycoon is better than YouTuber's Life, and I would agree with that. I did enjoy Game Dev Tycoon more than that, than YouTuber's Life. It's just I'm not a streamer, so like it doesn't connect with me that much, and the Game Dev one was interesting to me. But I still am enjoying YouTuber's Life, but I don't know if it's worth $25. So
yeah, it's pretty steep.
Maybe if you get it on sale.
How much was the Game Dev one?
I don't remember.
Oh, you know what? You know where I bought this was G2A, and it was when I had a whole bunch of credit, and that's when I found out you can only get a voucher for so much money on G2A. That site has the weirdest rules.
I have a question for you, Chad, about YouTuber's Life. Yep. Have you played the normal Sims?
I haven't. I haven't played any Sims game.
Oh, because
wow,
it does seem like it's a baby version of the normal Sims, but with more activities. So I know if you guys have ever played the Sims, a lot of it goes into character development, building your home, and then kind of growing your life from
scratch. This game has like a major component of it is actually recording these episodes. So you go like constantly you're going in and you're recording a clip, and you're using these cards, and you've got to match these cards up, and then you got to clip them all together when you're in the recording studio. So as far as it is like Sims, where you have a house and you're making it and you're leveling, you know, you're leveling
the
stuff
Sims
up.
The Sims feels more like an ant farm to me, though. Yeah. Like, you aren't directly controlling one person. Like, in this game, that's more what it's like. It's more like a management game, like Game Dev Tycoon or even Project
High Rise.
Well, not even like Project High Rise, but it's more like Punch Club. But The Sims is more like, you do control certain things, but then it's just like the people walk around and then eventually like fall in love with each other, get mad at each other, do all sorts of weird things. You can kind of control the environment, but not directly sometimes.
Emil, how's that water and vodka?
It's fucking awful. I'm halfway done with it.
Yeah, is it delicious?
It's the worst thing.
I do want to thank both Emil and Bobby. Your High Rise game, Project High Rise, and your Age of Gladiators got me onto the simulation kick this week, so I played both of those games and was enjoying both of those, so thank you both.
Those are time-consuming games, simulation games.
Yeah, they
are. That's the only thing I don't like about them.
They are, definitely.
All right.
Bobby, did a little streaming?
I did start streaming, yep. Let me pull up my Twitch page here so you can bask in its glory. It's a work in progress, but we're getting there, guys.
Guys, we have a DL Gaming Twitch thing. Why are we not using this? Please explain this to me.
Well, I don't know. A bunch of people, and Bobby, I don't know. He don't like.
I used to have an old channel that I deleted, and that had quite a few followers and views on it. But I don't know. I'm redefining this new one here, and I don't know. I just thought I'd stick with the Robert Digital brand.
If you'll notice,
it's
Bobby,
a solo project.
He tries to distance himself from us.
Yeah, what the fuck?
No. Because the DLGaming.net one, I mean, that's like the whole group. But
yeah,
this
never
one,
used, i.e. never
it's
used.
It's okay to have your own identity in a group. All right.
Yeah, but think it like if you were streaming in the morning, and
Chad,
she was streaming.
Like us.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Jesus.
Okay, but you know what really made me pull the trigger on this was I was fooling around in Photoshop for the first time in a while, and then I finally made some buttons here. It's not letting me scroll down. Why is that? Why am I not able to do that?
Don't worry, I'll fill the space. Bobby likes to use his AFK picture as something from Family Guy, right?
No, that's American
Dad.
Yeah, that's Jeff, and he's chilling on a beanbag, playing video games, eating a pizza.
I think it's supposed to be weed on his beanbag, but they didn't want to pull the trigger.
Yeah, that definitely is supposed to be weed.
But check out the buttons, dude. The buttons are sick. I mean, that's some fucking classy shit right there.
Yeah, it looks better than our website. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, awesome, Bobby. Way to devote
it's
lots
great to
of
know
time
what
and effort.
You're capable of.
Yeah. So what we're hearing out of you is
when
we're doing
you apply
a full website redo is what I'm hearing out of this
I'm
whole
not
conversation.
I'm not going to give him any gripe. I'm actually really glad that Bobby has his own channel because
thank you.
Now with his channel, he's going to actually stream because DLGaming.net, the Twitch channel, is barely a channel without streams, right?
Correct.
So if
because this, none of our
streamed on it, and he streamed on it, it'd be like 12 hours a day.
None of our people stream on it. So what the fuck?
I was 2 years strong with Smoochie before I got into DL Gaming Podcast. That's why I have to stick that out.
That's fair enough. But whoever is managing the DLGaming.net one should retweet or restream everybody, right?
Well, we have hosting, which
we
can do as well.
We can always do multi-Twitch, and if one of us, most potentially Bobby, makes it big, you know, we could
maybe make our own group
on there. Like, it takes more than one good streamer to have a good community on Twitch.
So I'm guessing you're streaming HOTS.
Yeah, streaming Heroes of the Storm, and the content that I am streaming, I'm playing mostly with a lot of new players, and it's kind of an educational one where I explain a lot of stuff. Now, this is not like high, super high-level play or anything. It's actually really good for people who are new to the game or who are low-tier and want to like move up. But yeah, it is a lot of HOTS. But this is the second time I've started streaming. I mean, I did it one day, and I'm acting like, this is my new thing. This is me now. I think it'll last. Like, I'll try to do this pretty often.
Are you doing a webcam?
Yeah. Okay. I run the webcam, so you get to see that.
Yeah.
You're green screening, though, right?
I think my first response to coming into his channel, I'm like, oh, that's very handsome lighting on your face, Bobby.
Yeah,
well, that's what Bobby does.
It was pretty dark in the room. I need to do something with the lighting because it gets really dark in here. But when I first started streaming, I was not really aware of the Twitch culture. Like, I didn't understand any of that, but now I watch Twitch almost every night before I go to bed. I watch the same streamers play HOTS, and like I know all the little jokes. I know like the etiquette of Twitch. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the environment. So now coming into it, I'm a little more aware of that, and I think it's gonna be a little bit better.
Are you interacting with your people? That was always a challenge whenever I tried streaming. Mm-hmm. Is actually like responding to people when
you can't even talk to Chad when he's in the game. The tongue is doing all the work.
Yeah, the tongue works, and everybody.
How are you supposed to talk when your tongue's outside of your mouth? So what we want to do here is talk on the left flank.
Yeah, it's either streamer tunnel vision or streamer ADD. That's how it usually goes, one extreme or the other.
I only do tunnel vision, so that's all I have.
Yeah, no, that is a big part of it, and I do try to interact and people come in and talk, or you know, even if there's just people watching, then I try to be a little more vocal just to be a little more entertaining. But you know, it's a long way to go. I mean, it's a challenge for me. It doesn't come naturally, being very talkative.
Who's Demon Souls?
That's me. Do you want me to talk?
Sure.
Okay, so this is going to be a kind of roundabout. I'm playing a game on console called Neo, which is a PS4-only product, but it's from Ninja Theory, and it is basically a Demon Souls clone. But the thing is, I haven't played Demon or Dark Souls or any of those ones, but I am actually really enjoying this game, and it's leading me to think that maybe I wrote off Demon Souls and Dark Souls too early, and that maybe I should give it a try. So I guess the question I have to you guys is, if I want to give one of those games a try, which one should I go for?
I like the third one best.
Yeah, but you don't count. So Bobby, which one do you go for?
Wait, me? Our chat has every answer possible. Yeah. In the first second. One, two, three.
Yeah. Okay. So
but this game that you're talking about, Neo,
yeah.
It's a 9.6 out of 10. So maybe you're right where you need to be.
I know, but I want to play a game that I can this is PS4 only. I want to play a game that I can play on PC and talk about it on the podcast.
I would say Dark Souls 3.
And I agree with you, Beirut. Bloodborne is another good one, but that's PS4 also, so I can't talk about that one. So
I would say go with the one that has the most active community, because a big part of playing these games is getting through it with the help of others and others that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah, but I don't play that way.
You can't.
They're going to be in your game regardless.
Yeah.
And now they're in your game.
When you die in the game, one of the only ways to come back to life is to help somebody else beat that level. So that was the biggest appeal to Demon Souls. When you die, the only way to come back to life and progress your game is if you actually progress the game of somebody else's.
See how he sighs that interaction with other humans?
Yeah,
it's amazing he's ever had sex once.
I don't like to interact with people in general.
Yeah, he has no voicemail. He doesn't answer texts.
You don't talk to them. You just
are you talking about chat or me?
Yeah. See, Bobby and I get each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have another side note. Can I do a side note?
We'll get with each other.
Can I side note?
Sure.
So I did the Myers-Briggs. You know that Myers-Briggs, whatever.
No.
I love that stuff.
So like, how are you? So Myers-Briggs is the 16 different personalities, like introvert, extrovert, all these different ones. Mm-hmm. So I scored as like an INTJ. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
But anyways, I told my girl to do it, and she basically scored the exact opposite. And I was like, oh, God.
Attract.
What is she, an EJST? Yes. I'm just assuming.
It was like...
there's a lot of acronyms thrown around here.
Anyways. But the INTJs basically don't want to deal with people. We're like the logic people that don't want emotion and don't want to deal with people, and that's me. And so...
I did it 5 times. I keep getting...
I want to know what Anna's is. I wonder if she's...
I kept getting DTF. I don't know what that
is. I'm ENFP, if anyone's...
Wow.
I'm curious.
I think she was ENSJ, but
yeah,
anyways.
That's the one I was trying
Bobby,
to say.
Bobby, can you do yours while I'm talking on the next one?
Anyways, we're getting back to gaming. Which demon... Wait, Dark... What's the difference between Dark Souls and Demon Souls?
Dude, you're talking to people who don't... I played Dark Souls 2 a little bit, and that's it.
Right?
Demon Souls is a very original PlayStation launch title that basically spawned into Dark Souls.
Okay, so Dark Souls is the PC game once.
Well, Dark Souls is Demon Souls, but it's just a whole new series of its own.
Okay, so don't play Demon Souls.
Dark Souls was Demon Souls 2,
so which,
but it spawned its own series.
So Demon Souls 3 is the most recent one. I would like to play the most recent one.
Demon Souls 3.
wait. Is it Dark Souls 3?
Dark Souls 3. Yeah.
3 is the most recent one. Is it...
You got that, Grandpa?
Is that one good to play? Dark Souls 3. Should I be playing Dark Souls 3?
Oh, yes. It's a lot of fun. And if you don't want to play... The good thing about Dark Souls 3 is that if there's not somebody else there willing to help you, they have... NPC stones that you can get an NPC to help you through it.
That's the only one I liked.
One last thing related to this. If I'm playing Dark Souls 3, is there any suggestions for how to make it easier for me to get through this game?
Yeah, it's
don't give
Google.
Up when you start crying.
Okay.
Dark Souls 2 might be a little bit easier than Dark Souls 3, though.
Okay.
And yeah, Beirut's offering good advice.
I would go with a well-rounded
class.
Okay.
So
okay.
Shield and sword.
I went three hours. I had a terrible
time. Yeah, you
were
liking it
yeah,
at first.
It was really good. I had a terrible time, and then I rolled a mage, and I was having a breeze. But I'm sure they get older. They get harder as it goes on. I played Lost Castle. We already covered this probably 3 months ago or something. And,
this is the one. Did I play this with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been waiting for you to play with me so we could beat this game because it's a roguelike.
Oh, yeah. I bought this game.
It's fucking awesome, man. It's so good.
Yeah, it is.
9 out of 10. We love this game. And I kept waiting for you to play with me, but you wouldn't play with me. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to go beat the game on my own. And I did just that. I beat the game, but it's just like Binding of Isaac where. I basically beat mom, and now...
Now you've got super mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, I got you.
There's a little bit of... there's a twist there or whatever, but you don't play this game for the story. You're playing it for the grind. The grind is really fun. Not as good as Binding of Isaac, but it's a lot of fun.
It's a different style game,
It's a different style game. The only reason is because it's not... The same problem that I had with... what did I review last week? That I said wasn't random enough.
Oh, that was that...
Utopia 9.
Yeah, Utopia 9.
And this has a little of this going on. The levels are almost exactly the same over and over. The creatures are exactly the same every single time. But the progression is so fun in this game that it makes you want to keep going. You kill guys, you get their souls, you put them in your points, you get stronger and stronger, but they're getting stronger as you get stronger, and it just keeps going and going and going. And it's just a lot of fun. There's a lot of comedy in there. I had a pet dinosaur fighting for me. That was fun.
I just didn't feel like the items were diverse enough.
I've been unlocked. Every new boss. So when you get to a boss, there's four or five bosses in the game. When you get to a boss stage, you have a chance of fighting three bosses. Every boss stage has three bosses.
Okay.
And each one of those that you defeat unlocks like eight new items. So as you are progressing, more and more items.
So we weren't progressing, so we weren't getting new items?
Is right. Because we were laying the groundwork. We didn't even have it. And now I'm just like, well, I'm not even getting to the last level guaranteed at this point. You know, you got to have a little bit of luck, and that's why it's a roguelike. But, man, there's some really
How much is
stuff.
This right now, Bobby?
$9.99.
And that's worth $9.99.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 100%.
Well, here's the funny thing. This is so my specific problem here. Like, I bought this game after you had talked about it, and then I completely forgot that I owned it and completely forgot all about it. This is why a lot of times when I buy something, I favorite it, so it shows up at the top of my list. But I do want to play this game.
This one didn't even get the favorite, so I can play it.
Like, well, he's like a middle of recommending.
It's literally a lost castle.
Yeah. No, that was terrible.
No.
Is there anything else on highlights and lowlights we need to talk about?
I think that's about it.
Cool.
All right, moving on to listener questions. Did we have more listener questions in this?
No, I did. I reviewed it.
Okay, we handled that earlier. Yeah. All right, so we have one coming from FigSack. He posted something. Looked like a text from a course that he's taking, and he wanted our opinion on it. Let's take a look.
The highlighted one, I'm assuming.
Right, the highlighted text reads, although PC-compatible computers are by far the most widely used in the United States, the Mac is traditionally the computer of choice for artists, designers, and others who require advanced graphics capabilities. So, yeah, that's, I mean, as the only Mac owner here, I feel like I should comment on that.
Well, he was, before you get into it, he seemed very irate, and he said,
let me know what you guys think about this bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So go ahead, Bobby.
Well, as a Mac owner, the hardware that you get in a lot of these Macs, here's the thing. First of all, this is coming from a textbook from a course that he's taking. I have never once in my entire life ever taken a course and read a textbook that was up to date. And I've taken a lot of IT classes. I've taken a lot of video classes. Never, ever. Like, even the last video class or audio design class I took that was on, like, Pro Tools was, like, talking about this exciting new world of digital video and shit. I'm just like, all right, this is, like, crazy old. These things are always out of date. And for a long time, Macs were considered, like, the thing you want to get if you are an artist or a graphics artist or some sort of designer of some sort. And I don't know exactly why that is. There are programs that only run on a Mac, like Final Cut Pro, which I use quite a bit. But really, in the professional environment, Adobe is like the only thing you should be learning these days, and you can get that on Windows just fine. I think people just like Macs because they've got, and I will give them this, they have amazing build quality. You pay a lot for a Mac, but as someone who's worked with both Mac and PCs in a harsh environment where technology does not last, Apple computers will last twice as long as a Windows computer, like two times as long.
I think one of the things with the Macs, though, isn't their architecture have lower overhead than a Windows architecture?
Yeah, so but the trade-off is you can't use as much different hardware.
That's true.
Yeah.
But from a graphic design and stuff like that, you want the lowest overhead possible so that you can maximize how much power is being used for your graphic design.
Yeah, but I've used Adobe on Macs and I've used Adobe products on Windows. I don't really notice a difference between the two.
Agreed.
And Macs, like if you compare like a Mac computer or a laptop, a MacBook Pro to another laptop, chances are the Windows is going to have better hardware and you're going to be paying less for it, but that thing's going to break in half the amount of time as the Mac computer. So I don't know. I think Mac is kind of like a status symbol for some people too. Mm-hmm. And it's also, people are more comfortable on that because at least in education, Macs were used like solely for the longest time. So people go to school, they use Macs at school. When they get into the working world, it's like, well, I've been working on a Mac my whole life. I'm comfortable with that. I'm going to buy a Mac.
Too bad, Chip. We use Windows over here at business.co. you're fucked. You're fired.
When it comes to, and interestingly enough, when I look at this, I feel like the Mac like Mac products, and I know a lot of friends that do use Mac, and when I try to use their computers, for me it's frustrating, but I'm not an artist or a graphic designer, but I definitely see Bobby saying it's a status symbol. It's, you know, a go-to when an artist is thinking of some type of computer. I mean, I know artists too that are strictly on Windows programs. And just the other day I was looking at the Windows Surface. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where there was that tool. Where there's this actual tool that you put on the screen and it flips the screen. It actually rotates your whatever you're drawing on.
Yeah.
And like at this point now, I feel like Windows has the capability to do so much more than a Mac can in regards to the type of artistry you're trying to do. Maybe not just strictly like restricting yourself to 3D or like graphic designing through those programs, but I feel like there are more versatile ways to go about art that Windows offers.
You definitely get way more options on Windows.
Exactly.
But I think Mac is much more streamlined and thus easy to use.
Well, not only that, but software in a Mac might run a little more stable for you.
Because they've got less builds that they have to worry about on a Mac.
Closed environment.
Exactly. And I think Windows suffers from... The open architecture suffers. Just a little question that I wonder.
Podcast started on Macs. And those are artists, and GarageBand is huge behind so many indie titles.
Well, that's the great thing about a Mac, too, is they give you iMovie for free, which is not, I mean, everybody laughs at iMovie, but that is a great video editing tool that is free and is really good for people
to learn. I thought
it was
called Final Cut.
Final Cut is $300.
Yeah,
that's movie on steroids.
Yeah. No, Final Cut goes on both, right?
No, Final Cut only runs on Macs.
Oh, okay.
But like I said, if you want to do anything like professionally, semi-professionally, you need to learn Adobe products.
Question for you guys. My parents run a Mac because they want something as simple as possible, and that's Mac. Do your guys' parents run Macs or Windows?
My parents run Windows, but I got my dad an iPad for Christmas one year, and that thing is like his sidekick now. Like, he never goes anywhere without it.
That's my parents, too. Like, they each have their own iPad.
Yeah, and he is not technically savvy at all. So I think an iPad is perfect for people like that, and I think Macs are better for people who are not extremely technically savvy.
So 90% of the time he's using an iPad.
They're so intuitive.
Yeah, they're just intuitive and they're just easy to use, and they don't give you. It's frustrating for someone who is like more technologically knowledgeable, because you have to. You got to take off.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Chi's leaving us, guys. Everyone, say goodbye.
Bye, Chi.
Bye, guys.
Chi, are your parents on a Mac or a Windows?
My father doesn't have a cell phone, and my mom has an iPhone. Computers only exist to steal their children away from them.
So. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
They bang bamboo shoots together.
Yeah.
That is racist, sir. We're not going to talk about this. For me, we're going to talk about that.
You know what this means? This means two mics for me. Yeah. Boom.
All right, we're going to play later, though.
Yep.
Yeah, later.
And there's logic in story.
Okay.
As it pertains to gaming, though, let's talk like Mac versus PC. I mean, there was a time where gaming on a Mac was like, you could only play a certain number of games. There were some good, like MDK was a Mac game. Like, there were some games that you could play on Mac, but for the most part, like...
Wasn't Halo originally designed for Mac?
It might have been. But when did Steam come to a Mac? I remember when it came to Linux, that wasn't that long ago.
Steam, I think the first game wasn't it T Fortress 2?
I'm not sure.
Man, we're going down some tangents. Let me answer your question, though. My mom is 77, and we went to go get her new computer because it just doesn't resonate with her that these things only last like 4 years, then you throw it away. She said, can we sell it? Can we like do this or that? Mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, especially with you clicking on every single thing that pops up, it's not, we got to get you a new computer. Oh, okay.
You literally are your mother's son because you click on fucking, your PC has got to have so many viruses, it's ridiculous.
Nah, that's all right.
Between the torrenting, the porn, the fucking gaming.
The only thing it can't play is Journey to the West.
It's got slightly more diseases than your dick, so...
Only a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried to sell her on a Mac. I tried to sell her on an iPad because I knew. And she was just like, where is the keyboard? And I was like, it's in the screen. She's like, maybe next computer. I was like, well, I'm only 77. You're not good. There's no next computer.
Wow.
All right. Bro, I don't think we're getting Mac as a sponsor anytime soon. So. Yeah.
I mean, we're a gaming PC. I mean, we're a gaming podcast, and yeah. Let's be honest, nobody wants to game on a Mac. I've tried to play WoW one time on a Mac and wanted to fucking kill myself because 90% of the time you're holding right click on when you're playing WoW because yeah. you need
a third party mouse. But yeah. That causes a whole other problem, yeah. And that is Macs enable in games. Macs when you use a third party mouse with a Mac, it enables mouse acceleration, which is the devil. If you've ever experienced, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mouse acceleration is if you move a mouse 1 inch, then that translates to the computer this amount. But if you have a mouse acceleration turned on, you move the computer or you move the mouse 1 inch. If you move it fast, then that could translate differently than if you move it slow. So it's based on velocity.
My whole life. Chad, have you ever felt it in your whole life?
One time in college, and I hated it.
Are you being funny?
Yes, I don't know. Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the demo. No, but I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Because you use Windows computers. But if you were to take a Mac, I have this problem. And the reason I bring it up is because recently in the latest patch of Heroes of the Storm, they finally fixed this problem on Macs. And it was like terrible.
Oh, because you play on Mac sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll play an AI game on my MacBook Pro. And it is... And I play AI games because there's absolutely no way that I could play an actual game with mouse acceleration on. It's a terrible feature.
I agree.
It's like the bane of every gamer's existence who's experienced some games. A game I talked about a long time ago called One Heart, like the number one and heart. It was a horror game, point-and-click adventure. Had it enabled by default. And it made this one puzzle where you had to click around really fast. It made it so difficult that I almost couldn't beat it. It took me so long, and my hand was like all cramped by the end of it. It was terrible.
And are they still? So if you buy a Mac today, you're still rocking a one button mouse still?
So Macs nowadays is a one button mouse, but it will simulate two buttons. It knows if you're clicking on the right or the left.
Well, here's the thing:
which means you can't do both at the same time, or
you can.
Those mice have two buttons, but in the operating system, they're set to only use count both of them. As
you have to turn on two button.
Yeah, you have to go into the options and say, "Hey, I want the right side of this mouse button to do a right click."
That's so ridiculous.
Which is what I had to do for when I tried to play WoW. But then you don't have those independent actions because it's a one. It's a solid piece that's either hitting left or right.
Yeah, it doesn't differentiate. There's no like.
So it was terrible the whole time.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk some esports?
Thanks, Fix, for that 45 minutes conversation.
The answer is fuck Max.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll talk a little bit of esports. The Heroes of the Storm, the HGC Heroes Global Championship is still going on. You know, honestly, I've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, and there's not a whole lot to say, but I thought I'd throw this in there. There was a match today where the best team was playing the worst team in America.
Don't spoil too much.
We all know how that ended up happening, but... one of the players on the worst team was not playing. The main tank player was not there. And I was like, that's odd. So, you know, I put on my detective cap and my magnifying glass and I started going on Twitter, Reddit, you know, like, what's the deal? Where's this guy at? And there was some suggestive post on his Twitter saying that he's going to do a twit longer later, kind of explaining it, but kind of alluded to some personal problems. And then the word on the street was that his girlfriend, who was also a prominent figure in the Heroes of the Storm community, cheated on him, and then that they broke up, and it was this huge thing. Yeah, so I'm getting ready for some drama to unfold. I'm grabbing the popcorn. We'll see how this goes down.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But isn't that crazy? I mean, we were talking earlier about YouTubers and Twitch and, like, this social community. Like, I don't follow a lot of that stuff, but there's been a lot of drama in regards to that. I remember something not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, with some guy named Soda Poppin', who apparently is a really popular streamer.
Yes.
But that's just so crazy to me that, like, you can have drama with somebody on the other side of the world, and it's just, like, all over the internet.
Yeah, for sure.
When you say prominent person, is she, like, a pro player?
She is, no. She's not a pro player. She's a streamer, and she is very vocal. And she's been dating this guy who is a pro player for a while. So, like, everyone knows who she is.
Just based on sex, I'm on his side.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't even know if that's the whole story. I mean, I could be spreading rumors here, but I don't know. The drama in the scene is sometimes entertaining.
So I've been watching a lot of Heroes of the Storm League, and this was...
You've been playing a lot, dude.
I've been playing a lot, too.
What'd you put, 15 hours in this week?
Yeah, I've been playing with Bobby. Like, Bobby mercifully lets me play. No, here, I found this out. We actually do a lot worse with Bobby because Bobby's fucking MMR on every fucking account he has is like platinum or whatever. And so I played by myself. I was like, holy shit, this game's fucking easy because I'm like bronze level difficulty.
Well, I made a third account so we could play.
Well, you need a fourth one.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Because I checked the MMR on my new account and yeah, it's too high, at least in quick match. So yeah, what I tell people though, when they come on and they're playing with me, I'm like, you're going to be playing against some more advanced people and that's good. I'm going to walk you through it. We're probably going to lose, but it's going to be a good experience. You're going to go into your own games. You're going to kill it. So
I feel so bad for you though, because you get frustrated. I know you get frustrated because you're expecting people to do things. It's like watching 4-year-olds when you're like, don't eat that crayon. You're not, the crayons are taste bad. You, obviously, okay, you're going to eat that crayon and it's going to taste bad and you're going to throw that up later.
Chad, it's crayon.
No, it's crayon.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, that's Bobby on Discord when we're playing. Oh, yeah, we wanted to be there. Yep, that's where they are. Oh, and yeah, you didn't want to be over there because they're killing you. Like, that's literally what you hear on Discord. Yeah, like, he's narrating what you shouldn't be doing
as it's happening.
Okay, guys, we want it. Yep, that's where they are. Yep, that's happening.
So. One of my favorite was, I'm like, don't do that. You're going to die. Boom, boom. You hear the death sound effect like two times. But what happens, though, is because the other team might not be very good either. So sometimes I'll be like, oh, don't do that. That's a bad idea. And then my team will, like, get two kills or something because the other team misplayed even more. But, yeah, it can be a little stressful. But it's a good time. And you can see more of that at twitch.tv/Robert_digital. That's in the plug.
And let's just make sure you guys know that's not...
Yeah. That has nothing to do with DL Gaming.
DL Gaming, DLGNet. Yeah, that's for sure not where to go.
Anyways, I wanted to bring up Heroes of the Storm League because last week,
we have shit buttons, by the way.
Yeah. Last week was the first week of the Korean one, because they weren't there the first 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, they started later.
And I'm watching them, and they don't seem any better. Like, I was expecting miracles to be happening, because all I hear is fucking U.S. is shit tier, and the Koreans are awesome. And I'm not seeing any plays that are... But maybe it's like two superheroes going together, and they cancel each other out. Maybe that's the deal?
It very well could be, and this is just the league, so they are saving, like, their big, bold strategies for, like, when it really counts in the playoffs and in the tournaments. But... I haven't been able to watch enough. What's that?
Sorry, does that make the net? Since they're doing that, since they're sandbagging, does it make it the regular season a little boring?
No, not really. It actually makes it more exciting because in the regular season, they're willing to try weird drafts and off-meta characters, and it makes for some really interesting plays. Okay. In the league, in the tournament, you start seeing more of the standard draft. But I haven't watched enough of the Korean ones because they're on at like 2 o'clock in the morning till like
and you're not botting them
9 out? 9 o'clock in the morning. No, there's so much Heroes. There's seriously Heroes almost 24 hours a day from Friday until Sunday that I can't watch all of them. So I watch as much as I can. But when I watch the NA teams, like, I see the mistakes. It's really easy for me to watch and go, oh, they made a mistake there, because I can see both of the teams. There's no fog of war. So it's not like, oh, I'm so much better than them. I see their mistakes. But I do see the mistakes and the errors and, like, the misplays. With the Koreans, when I watch their games, there's less of that.
It's like when the whole thing, I don't know why it popped in my head, but the Japanese baseball teams can never like outpower the American teams, but they make no errors.
Yeah.
Their entire sheet would be like, they're so disciplined. There's no errors, but it's just, it comes out to shit.
And I wonder if that's just like their worth ethic or if it's something like just about their culture. Because when I watch the Koreans play, they're like robots. Like, they land skill shots like bink. Like, it's crazy how, and Heroes of the Storm, there's less of a chance for you to stand out as an individual player, but that means you have to work together as a team a lot better. So they come together like fucking Voltron sometimes. It's insane to watch these players.
If you read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, he points at this is a whole thing, but it, basically he just points at it being a culture thing and rice farming versus any other kind of farming. Rice farming is the hardest, the most technical, and very, very hard to do. And you need a technical, and you're working together because your paddy bleeds into the next paddy, which bleeds. You've seen those shells.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to work together and get everything perfectly to get, and not just that, the more you harvest, the better the rice gets. So you can get, if you can get 12 harvests a year, that's great. Everybody else, everywhere else in the world, they're harvesting grain. It's once a year, and then you get 3 months off, and you're just drinking beer, basically. And it just made for a completely different mindset.
That is insane.
Yeah.
What's that book called?
It's called Outliers.
Outliers.
Really, I got to check that out.
It's really good.
So if you're saying if we were a rice-based culture, you know, a couple generations down, we'd be up there in the esports. All right, there's the answer, guys. Exactly. That's what's wrong
pretty
with
much,
America.
Yeah.
One more comment about Heroes of the Storm. I think I've figured out why I have a harder time getting into Heroes of the Storm than Dota or really Dota than other ones. Is Dota allows for more different compositions as far as the makeup. Like you can do a 2-2-1-1 with a jungler. You can do a tri-lane.
Like different plays in football.
Yeah, and it for Heroes of the Storm. Like Nova, for example, is just never played competitively. There's just no strategy that makes her a viable person because.
Sorry, is Nova in HOTS or
in HOTS? Okay. She's the girl that goes invisible. She's a ranged assassin.
Okay, but I think
you know what I mean. Like there's no viable other strategies.
There we go. Yeah. But you're taking Nova. But in Dota, there are characters that are like never played, right? Like in the competitive scene. This year we had the last Dota tournament, there was actually a lot of players.
110 different ones were played or something like
that's
that.
That's a great sign.
Yeah.
And but that's what I mean. Like,
well, it's not usually like that, but that is, I mean, that would be great if HOTS was like that, but I think the map diversity is what brings that out. Because if you play on a different map, then all of a sudden
but that's
this
what
character
I'm saying.
With this build.
But even on different maps, overpowered is overpowered.
But you're always going to
see a false data.
You're not going to see, though. You're always going to have the characters that are... I mean, it's a tier list. There always has to be people at the bottom.
Yeah, and I agree. But the craziest thing I've seen in... I've been watching weeks and weeks of Heroes of the Storm. The craziest thing I've seen is Shen one time. And Sylvanas doing mind control one time. That's the craziest shit I've seen. Everything else is so standard. It's between 10 characters.
But
and
don't,
that's,
don't say that.
That's right. Literally between 10 characters.
So when you say, you're making it sound like the games are entertaining. You've watched some entertaining games. Right?
For the gameplay. But right, like I said, like I love the draft. And Heroes of the Storm, I skip the draft. I don't even care because I know it's going to be the same between the same dozen characters the whole time. It's who was banned and who was picked. Like there's no diversity there, and it's just a little frustrating for Heroes of the Storm. Like
well,
I really
every,
wish
after
that
every
they could
big
do something.
Tournament, someone always does the Reddit post that shows the hero diversity, how many times this hero is picked, how many times they won, and all that stuff changes with the meta. And yeah, it's not nearly on the same level as League or Dota because you have half as many heroes in the pool so far. So maybe when they get more of those,
but that's
change.
What I'm saying. Like
how's that troll doing, Bobby?
The Zul'jin.
Oh, Zul'jin.
Yeah, in the meta.
He gets picked a couple times. But I guess what I'm saying is even with a small pool, I'm still seeing there's still like there's guys that will never be played even with a small pool. And it's I don't know. It's just I wish there was something that they could do to diversify the
Chad, you understand
the draft strategy. You know,
it's like you said his kid is ugly.
Yeah, well, that's the competitive scene, though, and you're going to see a lot of that. I don't know. There is pretty big diversity in that. Maybe it's because I know the game so well that I see the nuance of it. It's like, oh, they draft those two characters. I see what they're going to do here. That's going to be this strat, and they're going to run that, you know. But, like, if you're watching it and you aren't really familiar with a lot of the nuances, I could see where it just seems like it's the same heroes.
I guess what it is they had to make a trade-off to make it so accessible, so immediate. Like you fight at level one, and it's a team fight at level one. Because of that, there's no idea to have a jungler or a guy that sits in his own lane for fucking 20 minutes. Like there's no attempt at that. So everybody's got to be involved in a team fight. And if you can't team fight or if you can't pick off, you can't be involved with it. And
no, like, I see what you're saying. And that used to be a lot worse. And that's why they changed a few things. They made minions stronger. They made specialists more powerful. They made like lane push an actual thing. They made catapults, the basically your super creeps, lock onto the core. Whenever they start attacking the core, they lock. They don't attack anything else. So those actually become a threat. And that really changed the game. They also lowered mount speed, because what the game kind of eventually turned into about maybe 6 months ago before they made this change was just a team fight. Like, it just was whoever had the better team fight. So I don't know. They are trying to push the game in that direction and give it a little more strategy.
What I would like them to do is have cannons.
Listen up, Blizzard.
Have cannons basically one or two shot you at level one. Like, the fact that you can take a wall down in level one, I believe, is the most bullshit thing you can ever do. It takes away any...
And again, that used to be a lot worse. They actually increased the damage by 50% on the towers.
They need to increase it by about 1,000%. Yeah. Like, the fact that you can sit under a tower and shoot people is just bullshit. Like, anyways, we've talked enough Heroes of the Storm, but...
Oh, you guys still talking about Heroes of the Storm? I'm sorry.
Let's get into the news, huh?
Okay, cool.
All right, what do we got for the news?
Actually, this is all you, Chad, pretty much.
Okay, so the first thing is Steam Greenlight is closing. Are you guys surprised about this? You know, it's had a lot of problems.
I don't think anyone's surprised by this.
Okay, now they're changing it to a thing called Steam Direct. The thing is, Steam Direct is going to be a paid-for service. Like, it will now be you need to pay money to put your product onto Steam. And they've talked about...
I mean, Zaya paid for Greenlight. He paid $100.
Yeah, but they're talking about a price somewhere between $100 and $5,000. So...
Depending on the scope of your game, maybe?
No, they're just talking about what's the price.
Is this going to cut down on the trash, maybe?
That's what they're trying to do. Like, the big thing about Steam Greenlight is... anything can get approved, and then if you spend $100, you can put a game up on Steam, and they're just dealing with all this fucking trash on Steam. So they're trying to get rid of it. The problem is, it's going to cost money, so you got to have some money to be able to put a game up on there. Are you guys concerned with this at all? I mean, if it's $5,000 to put a game up on Steam, is that a concern? I kind of feel like you have to have $5,000 to put a game up on Steam. Like, I'm not really concerned about that.
No, I think they desperately needed to do something with Steam Greenlight because it was a mess. And other than just completely get rid of it, I don't know what else they can do but increase that paywall to kind of keep out the people who are just trying to turn a buck off some shitty game they made with some assets they bought.
Who's going to be looking at these games determining who pays $1,000 and who pays...
No, it's going to be a set price. They're determining.
They just haven't decided.
Yeah, they haven't decided. They've reached out to publishers to see what would be a viable price.
That's rough.
And so they've had all sorts of answers. So
that was really rough.
Yeah.
Maybe a two-tier system where you have, like, really indie people. Because, like, look at Risk of Rain. That dude couldn't pay $5,000, but that was a gem of a game. Because he made it on Game Maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like Steam's kind of... passing the buck along, because what they could do is they could sit down and play every single game.
No, they don't have the. They don't have the
well, I'm
it's
saying
a game
you could.
On systems, dude. So
there's no right answer here, because you either have like this giant paywall and people who have a legit good game but can't afford it, they can't get in, and that sucks. Or you don't have that and you let all the trash in. I mean, what do you do?
See, I think what they should do is not close Steam Greenlight, but Steam Greenlight should be used only for games that can't afford the $5,000 and need to try to get in there. And it's very limited. Like, you only let in one or two a month to say, hey, these guys can get their cost waived. And then everybody else pays the $5,000 or whatever the Steam Direct is. Like, that would be my solution.
Well, I mean... $100 to $5,000, it could be anywhere between there. I mean, that leaves a lot of room for interpretation. But if that requires a developer to establish their game through some other method and then bring it to Steam, and then they can blow up from there. I mean, Steam has been the place to go to for any game in the last, like, I don't know, what, 5-10 years? But if they can establish themselves somewhere else and build like something to show like, hey, this is a game that we're taking seriously and that we want to develop and make some money off of, then Steam will listen. I don't know. I just feel like there has to be some higher criteria to get in there rather than $100.
I agree.
I don't know. I say we build a wall and we make the developers pay for it.
Very, very good. I like that. But my answer was right.
I just
both of them right.
I just remembered that we're being videoed, and I'm laid out like a fucking slob, and I'm also showing my nutsack to the camera. So,
no, it's cool.
Who is that?
That's cool.
In other Steam news, Newell said that he's going to bring back paid mods again. He thinks that 100% modders should get paid for the work that they do, and I tend to agree. I just don't believe.
I think everybody agreed with that, but they brought it into what, Skyrim?
Yeah.
Is when they first tried to implement this. And that was like, I think that was the wrong move. Like, people weren't going to stand for that.
This is still the same thing with Steam Greenlight. Like, they want modders to get paid, but they don't want to moderate it at all. They just want to say, modders, you pick your price that you want. And, like, I really think you got to have some moderation here. Like, Steam should go through and review.
Dude,
is this mod
like
worthwhile?
People. And that's how they're. Why
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. If you're making. Do you know how much money fucking Steam is making off this shit? Like, you can hire more than 20 people. You can hire a whole group of people that their whole job is to look at mods and see if they should be fucking paid money. The whole problem with paid for apps was people were trying to charge these ridiculous prices for things that weren't worth it. If you're going to pay money, you got to have some support there, right? If you're going to charge money, you got to have some support.
I think it should come out of Steam's end, the mod sales.
Wait, so you don't want them to hire more than 20 people, but you want Steam to pay for the fucking mods?
Well, do we all agree that we are Steam fans, yeah?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
We've been doing things by just having systems in place and not having people do it. And that they're doing something right. And you got to make certain allowances like this. Yes, it would be awesome to have a warehouse full of people, but then it's a lot easier said than done. Yes, they have the money for it, but if you set up systems to do all the work for you, either yes or no. You either apply or you don't, or you either pass or you don't.
That's just how things work. What system would you put in place? Go ahead. Explain to me how you would solve this paid for mods.
Probably how many downloads they have, they get a piece of the cuts ever since they joined the game.
But there's no extra money going in. It's not a paid for mod. You know what I mean?
No, but you're selling copies after the mod has been made, right?
I don't know if we're going to fix this problem.
I feel like we're having the exact same conversation they had in Steam headquarters up at the top of Mount Doom.
Yeah. Anyways, you're wrong and I'm right. Anyways, okay. EVGA ICX.
I don't know anything about it.
EVGA ICX. So ACX is their cooling solution for their video cards, for their advanced superclocked video cards, typically.
These are like 1080s and shit.
Yeah, well, 1080s, but even my 980 Ti had a ACX cooling system on it. But they now have a new version called the ICX, which has got all sorts of new technical details. I won't bore you with those, but supposedly cools a lot better. Also looks cooler with the LEDs. You can put fan curves on them.
Looks cooler. That's the important part.
Yep, that is important if you got one of those see-through cases. I don't know. See, here's the thing. Oh, their new cards are going to have this, at least their high-end cards. But if you have a 1080 or a 10 series like I do, you can upgrade to this for $100. I don't know if that's worth it. The only reason I would consider it is because my 980 Ti, I think, just burnt up. I don't know if it was the problem of the cooler or I ran it so much or the card was just, I don't know, not great.
I think it also kicks off the 90 days to scroll up. It's got, like, it starts the 90 days again to get the upgrades or whatever.
That was my idea, baby.
The 90-day warranty?
Yeah. So, I mean, an extra $100 to get an upgrade and you kickstart the warranty again?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's...
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do this because I think this is particularly aimed at overclockers and people who are really trying to extract every last megahertz from their... from their graphics card, and I don't overclock anything anymore. Just I'm trying to get the most life out of my hardware, and I'm trying to have it be the most stable. That's a sign that you are truly getting old when you don't mess around with that anymore.
It works. Why would I change it? Yep.
Very true, though.
Yeah, so I don't know. This doesn't apply to me, although I do look forward to having this on my next graphics card.
Yeah, you haven't upgraded in a while, huh, Bobby?
No, well, he's got a 1080.
Yeah, I got that one because my 980... burst into flames.
Oh, that's
Bobby,
right.
Do you want to do a 3 month later review? Because I heard you saying that you're not like 100% happy with it.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't been playing games that would really necessitate a 1080 over a 980 Ti. Like, there was really no reason for me to upgrade. If my 980 Ti hadn't burnt out, then I would never have done it.
Okay.
The only issues that I'm having with the 1080 is it does not like full screen. I have to play things in borderless window. If I load up a game like Doom in full screen and I try to alt-tab out, the whole computer just goes black. Sometimes I'll see the mouse, sometimes I won't. Sometimes I can alt-tab back in, sometimes I just have to hard shut down my computer. And that'll happen in other games as well when I use full screen. It just does not like it. Yeah, it's a problem.
That is a huge problem. Yeah. And have you looked for, I'm sure you have because you're you, but have you looked for a workaround or anything like that for anybody else having that problem?
Not extensively. I've kind of looked around a little bit, but you know, as long as it's playing Heroes of the Storm, like that's...
I hate you sometimes.
That's really the important
just sometimes?
Thing. If it was a problem with Heroes of the Storm, yeah, I would be on that shit right away. Something would...
Customer support 24 hours a day.
That shit would be getting fixed real quick. But, yeah, so I've been able to live with that issue. But I have noticed, and it might be due to the latest patch, it does crash Heroes sometimes. But yeah, I don't know. I was a little disappointed in that. And also the problem I talked about last week with Ghostlands or Wildlands, the Tom Clancy game where it just kept freezing. I don't know. It kind of sucks when you get like the newest, latest graphics card and then you have issues with it. You're like, you know, I'm paying for the better experience here. But in a way, when you buy like the high-end stuff, you are asking for some problems because those things are super clocked. They are running hot. You know, they are slightly a little more unstable than something else.
Fair enough.
Cool. Sorry, so I missed this. The Wildlands, that's a beta you got into?
Yeah, that's a beta that Pinful/Beirut sent me, and I tried to play time and time again but was unable to due to some hardware issues where it kept freezing. Yeah.
Khan says that he doesn't have that problem with his 1080. He has the EVGA FTW, which I think is what Bobby has.
Do you have the FTW?
I think I do.
It's a unique problem with your card.
Trade it in again.
Well, this is what I've also thought it might be. I run a dual monitor setup, and I don't know if it has to do with that because I've encountered weird issues with that before. Or it could be something with Windows 10. I don't know.
All the porn you're downloading could have problems.
This is pretty specific, but I have a tri-monitor setup, and I have a 1080, a... What's standard? What is, like, the old shit?
Fucking...
Like, 1920 by 1080, 1080p?
No, not that. But what's, like, older than that? Like, laptops and shit.
640 by 480?
Sure, whatever. Yeah. I got something really low-res, and then I have a 4K monitor, and my poor little... my computer is displaying all three, never at once. Bobby, am I helping my card out when I like turn them off when I'm not using them? Is that reducing the stress, or is it really still sending out three signals?
I don't know. It could be. I'm not sure exactly if that really helps it. I know sometimes if I have issues with a game and I have with my dual monitor setup, like sometimes it doesn't lock the mouse inside the game and it'll go flying off.
Oh,
to the
fuck,
left side.
I hate that.
If I turn off the other monitor, that problem will go away. But in your situation, I'm not exactly sure. I know I used to run it where I would run my main monitor off my graphics card, and then I would run my secondary display off of the onboard graphics, the actual motherboard one. And I don't know what difference that has either. There is problems sometimes, like moving a window across those. Sometimes there's a bit of lag, so that's why I just ran it all out of my GPU. You know, and it could be a problem, the issue that I'm having. It could be something with G-Sync as well. Like, that's gotten real testy with me sometimes, especially if I try to run V-Sync at the same time. Because a lot of games will enable VSync by default. So I don't know. There's a lot of variables in there. I don't want to blame it all on the 1080, but it is my prime suspect.
So it sounds like we've all had issues recently on our fucking setups.
I'm really lucky. I never have issues. I'm super happy. Like, very rarely.
I've had a pretty good run. Yeah. Like, what's
I
crazy to me...
You always have problems, Bobby.
I'm recently with my video card, but I'll tell you this though, my CPU cooler and my power supply are going on 6 years old right now. Like, I've had these things have been chugging for a long time.
And I gotta say, that is one thing that consoles have over us. Like, I don't feel like they go to dinner and talk about what problems they have with their consoles.
Well, Red Ring of Death, dude. You remember that?
Red Ring of Death was one thing a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
And we all know about it. I'm ready to podcast all night. What do you guys think? Want to keep going?
3 hours? Should we do 3 hours? No, we promised people that we'd be gaming tonight, all four of us. Should we close this bitch out?
Yep. Sure. Somebody suggest something to that. Well, okay, Fallout 4. I'm gonna say
you finished that vodka and water, by the way. So am I carrying you home tonight?
Yeah, probably. Hey, Chad, I'm 80 hours in.
I like how you have your feet mic'd over there.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm 80 hours into Fallout 4.
He's giving that mic a foot job right over there.
I'll have to ask you off podcast. Because I'm at this impasse, and that's why I haven't got back into it.
Fallout 4, 80 hours? You're 80 hours
in? I'm 80 hours in. Shouldn't I be done?
Yeah.
Close to done?
You're not following the main story?
No, I always go off.
Did you find out who shot your wife?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Nobody gives a shit. That's the whole point of Fallout 4, is you don't give a shit about your wife. You love your kid, but you hate your fucking wife. What's up?
What are you doing next week?
What am I doing next week?
Here's a storm, I think.
YouTubers life for life. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Dude, I've seen you. You're into Heroes of the Storm like a motherfucker.
I'm trying to be, but I'm not very good at all. So it's tough.
It's tough. A lot of practice. Yeah, I've got a 4-day weekend coming up. I have next Friday off, and I have next Monday off, I believe. We got to like that President's Lincoln's birthday thing coming up. So I'm going to have a lot of time, hopefully. And I'm really hoping to do a lot of streaming then and also get into something I'm not sure what yet. Maybe Lost Castle or Shadows of the Empire. I don't know.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. So, and Chad, you don't know. So, okay.
What are you doing?
I told you. Fallout 4.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to say that I'm going to do it just so I hover over it every fucking time, and then I play Binding of Isaac. Oh, god damn it. I did want to... I'm not going to get into it, but Binding of Isaac has me fully on by the balls over again. I probably put 20 hours in this week.
God, I can't decide who's worse. You, Bobby with Heroes of the Storm...
He's way worse.
Or you... Like, seriously, guys. You guys... You know we have a podcast, right? Like, fucking pick other games and do it. Jesus Christ. All right, close this out.
All right, speaking for Bobby, Absent Chi, some other guy. I want to downsize, but it keeps getting fatter.
That's me.
Chad and Emilio, myself. Let's go with water and vodka titties. They're watered down and they're disgusting. Titties, everyone.